You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
So Lane, today we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. A King James Version of the Bible, which is the version that Mormons prefer, they use Holy Ghost. So Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same thing. But Lane, we're going to eventually talk about what the Book of Mormon describes in terms of the Holy Ghost and how the work of the Holy Ghost in the Book of Mormon, this is where we're heading, the work of the Holy Ghost in the Book of Mormon is more similar to biblical Christianity than the work of the Holy Ghost in mainstream Mormonism today. So that's where we're heading today.
Right.
But let's start with this question, Lane. As a Mormon 15, 20 years ago, how did you view the Holy Ghost?
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. So when I was LDS, I believed the Holy Ghost was there to give me a burning in my bosom. Many Latter-day Saints, when they get up to share their testimony and fast and testimony meeting, you're always looking for a confirmation that you believe what you believe. And that burning in the bosom was very important, like a confirmation to me. But that just wasn't enough on its own. The Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost was just not enough. And so what I want to do is I want them to understand that you still need a prophet, you still need temples, you still need ordinances. And so we're going to jump into Doctrine and Covenants, section 124 and verse 28. And so if you have your triples or your quads, go ahead and pull them open, but we'll go right into it. So in 124:28, it reads, "There is not a place found on earth that he may come to restore again the fullness of God's blessing without a physical temple." So what does that mean? It means, according to Mormonism, you can't have the fullness of God's blessing without a physical temple. Here's the contrast. The LDS Church says you need a special building, priesthood keys, ordinances to connect with God, but both the Bible and Book of Mormon say God himself, through his Spirit, is enough. That's the simplicity of Christ.
Okay, so hold on. Let me pause for a second, Lane, because I know that people who are listening who don't have background in Mormonism, they're like me, right? Because mm-hmm. I wasn't a Mormon. So right. I'm trying to wrap my mind around what you're saying.
Yeah.
So when you read from Doctrine and Covenants, that was later than the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Doctrine and Covenants added some additional stuff to the doctrine of the Holy Ghost in Mormonism.
Yeah. And that's the unfortunate part, because again, we go back to 3 Nephi 11, faith, repentance, baptism, the Holy Ghost. It's so simple. It's just so simple. But unfortunately, salvation gets into exaltation. Like, salvation is boring to us. It's like, we're going to be with God for eternity. But when I start laying that down as a Mormon, it's like, no, salvation everybody gets, but it's exaltation that I seek. Well, what is exaltation? Well, it's the Jesus plus. It's not Jesus, period. And that's the unfortunate part, where you start complicating even what Nephi says in the Book of Mormon, the simplicity of Christ. I speak plainly. We want the plain words that Jesus says. Unfortunately, you don't get that. So when I look back at the Book of Mormon and the Bible, I saw a different message. For example, we're going to go to 2 Nephi 32 and 5, and it reads, "For behold, again, I say unto you that if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things what you should do." This is the verse that says the Holy Ghost shows you all things. And then we can go into Moroni, chapter 10, 4 to 5. And Moroni says almost the same. He says, "He will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things." Now, you also get John 16, 13 in the Bible that's a compliment, and that is, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come." So you can see here, the Spirit guides you into all truth. Together they reinforce the same point. The Spirit himself is fully sufficient to teach, lead, and guide believers.
And this reminds me of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Jesus in the Book of Mormon, because mm-hmm. what we learned then was that the Jesus of the Book of Mormon kept everything really simple.
Yeah.
And really he does. Said, "Here's all you need to know." And then, but then we realize once we get the Doctrine and Covenants that that's not all that we need to know in modern day Mormonism. So you're saying the Holy Spirit in the Book of Mormon, just like the Holy Spirit in the Bible says, he's going to tell you everything you need to know. But then in the Book of Mormon, apparently the Holy Spirit didn't know about temples.
Apparently.
Or about endowments. Or a bunch of those, you know, word of wisdom, a bunch of those other things that were added later. So am I oversimplifying it, Lane? Or are you saying that the just like the Jesus of the Book of Mormon wasn't fully informed, you're saying that the Holy Spirit of the Book of Mormon wasn't fully informed either?
And I'm going to answer that with a question to the Latter-day Saints today that may be on the fence or may be curious to say, is there something here? Here's my question to you. If the Book of Mormon says the Holy Ghost shows you all things, and the Bible says the Spirit leads you into all truth, why does the LDS Church say you need prophets, temples, ordinances, and even extra authority to fully reach God? Isn't the Spirit himself enough? That's my question. Why do you need more than the Spirit? So we'll go deeper into what the Bible and Book of Mormon say, because here the picture is clear. And again, we go back to the simplicity of the words of Christ, both in the Book of Mormon and the Bible.
Okay, hold on, Lane. Let me ask you again a clarifying question. I liked your question. So for the non-Mormon listener, what do you mean, just real quickly, what do you mean by prophets, ordinances, temples? What else was on your list?
And authority.
And authority. Right. So what you're saying is that modern day Mormonism has all these additional things?
Yeah. And I mean, I can see why they have them, because if you take it away, you don't need them. You don't need a prophet. You have the Holy Spirit. This was the greatest thing. This is why Jesus said to his disciples, and they were sad. It's like, why are you leaving us? And he's like, hey, don't be fearful. Don't worry about this. He's like, I'm going to leave you with someone that's greater. Well, what are you talking about? What's this something greater that you're going to leave us with? The Holy Spirit. So you're going to be even more powerful in a sense, because you're going to be my hands and my feet. And there's going to be millions of you that are going to act upon my voice, versus the prophet that's an isolated authority that seems to have all power, all keys and authority in the church, and only he can release those. Then it's very different than the Holy Spirit itself.
So do you think is this a good place to pause and just talk about the simplicity of the Holy Spirit in the Bible?
Yes.
I think I want to get back into this other stuff with Mormonism, Lane, but how would you explain the Holy Spirit according to the Bible?
Well, I mean, John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things unto your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. What more do you need? Yeah. What else am I looking for? Whose other voice do I need when God assures me that the truth that he's going to teach and testify is always going to be about a son? But unfortunately, as a Latter-day Saint, the more is the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost seems to testify about the prophet. But as a biblical Christian, it's testifying that Jesus is Lord. It's testifying what Jesus did on the cross was fully needed and fully satisfied. But again, as a Latter-day Saint, it's like the Holy Ghost, when I got the burning in the bosom, it was like, that was great. That's part of it. But the rest of it is, now I got to look to my prophet. He's the voice for God. But what about the Holy Spirit? Because I got this promise that Jesus is going to leave, that the Holy Spirit speaks to me direct and teaches me everything. And then we have the Book of Mormon saying the same thing. And yet, I'm going to a prophet now for what?
Yeah, in the Old Testament, there's a couple places, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, that says there's going to come a day when I'm going to put my spirit in you.
Yeah.
And the contrast was to the Old Testament law. You know, it says, I'll write my law on your hearts.
Yeah.
So that you don't need a prophet, an institution, an organization. So it's when Jesus showed up, Jesus revolutionized the way the Jewish people, his followers, understood a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And he was, if I could say it like this, Jesus was disconnecting a relationship with God from like cold, hard legalistic institutionalism.
Exactly.
And this is what's crazy is Mormonism now comes in, not necessarily the Mormonism of the Book of Mormon, which is kind of your point, but the Mormonism of today comes in and adds all these other things. And now it's, you're going back to institutionalism and ordinances and prophets. And so it's essentially complicating the simple message that Jesus came with. And I love how you said this, Lane. This is so good for our listeners to hear. The Holy Spirit's job is to point people to Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit of the Bible.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit in Mormonism,
even in the Book of Mormon, it does the same, Brian. I see. Yeah. That's the exact same thing. It testifies of the Father and the Son. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit, is to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, but also to testify the Father and the Son. And in current LDS doctrine, it's that plus, it testifies that the prophet is true as well. And of course, they have to lead that in order for their prophet to have the power that he needs in order to lead and guide the church. It couldn't be that God himself is using the Holy Spirit to lead and guide his church, which we are the body, we're the hands and feet of Christ, not this just big organization. So it's a very different picture.
So would you say that in modern Mormonism, the prophet has more authority than the Holy Spirit?
Well, I mean, I would let the Latter-day Saints say that, but in my, you know, best days of being a Latter-day Saint, yes. I mean, ultimately, I looked at the prophet. When the prophet came into conference, everybody would stand up. And I'm like, why am I standing up for a man that's not perfect, that, you know, like I would stand for Jesus? Why am I standing up and revering this man here? Like, it was like going backwards. So when I talk about a prophet, I talk about temples, ordinances, it's looking back, Brian. Like, where was Jesus at? Like, prophets and temples and high priests were types and shadows of something better. Like you mentioned, I think Jeremiah 31:31, right? Like, there's something better. There's something new that's coming that's better than this old way. And what is that? I mean, what was the new commandment? You know, like, to love one another. Like, this is it's not the do good, get good, do bad, get bad, like it was in the old law. It's love one another as I have loved you.
Yeah, even in the Old Testament, the temple was the place where God dwelled on the earth.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, the presence of God. Yeah.
Presence of God. You had the Holy of Holies. You had the Ark of the Covenant. And so, and this was the radical message of the New Testament, is that now that the Holy Spirit, now that Jesus has done his work and the Holy Spirit
is
here.
Right.
The new temple. And this is good for Mormons or former Mormons to hear this. The new temple today, now, after the work of Jesus, is not a building anymore. The new temple is us.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit, this is what the prophets were talking about, Ezekiel and Jeremiah. The Holy Spirit, who is God himself, by the way, we'll get into this.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit takes up residence in us, and we now are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He moves in and through us. So it's this living, breathing relationship with God, this church that's flesh and bones, really. It's not a structure anymore.
Right.
But Mormonism goes back
and
reintroduces, now not the Book of Mormon, right?
Right.
But later Mormonism with the Doctrine and Covenants
reintroduces
temples into Mormonism, which, like you said, Lane, is just going totally backwards.
Yeah, you're totally looking backwards, and it's it just doesn't make sense until you take a step out and you ask yourself, what is the Book of Mormon really teaching? What is the Bible really teaching? And where does the Book of Mormon point me to continued prophets and continued priesthood and temple ordinances? If Jesus himself in 3 Nephi 11 doesn't teach temple work, and he doesn't teach there's more than these four principles, why are we shifting and saying it's okay for us to look to a prophet when Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, I'm leaving the Holy Spirit with you to teach you the truth that you need, to testify of who I am, to testify of my Son, not to bring me to a prophet, not to bring me to put my trust in man, but to put my trust in God himself, which is very beautiful in the sense where Paul gives us that our bodies are walking, living temples of the Most High God. Even Jesus in John 2 says to the Pharisees, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it. And they thought he was talking about this temple that took years and years, 40 plus years to build. He's like, no, the temple I speak of is my body. So even Jesus is going back and showing us that this body is the temple of God. And that's why he leaves the spirit once he ascends in Acts 2, when he goes back up and the apostles are sad. He's like, don't be sad. It's like, I'm still going to be here with you. I'm leaving something greater, the Holy Spirit that's going to act in all of you, all believers.
Okay, so Lane, what you're saying is that modern day Mormonism adds all this extra doctrine about the work of the Holy Spirit that wasn't in the Book of Mormon. So walk us through what the Book of Mormon does say about the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, it uses both words.
Yeah. So in the Book of Mormon, Moroni closes his record. So this is the last book in the Book of Mormon. So you have the prophet Mormon, which abridges and takes all the small and large plates, both brass and gold, and he abridges them. So he puts it in a simpler form, supposedly. Once again, you can see the simplicity most of the time in the Book of Mormon of who Jesus is, of who God is, who the Holy Ghost is. So you can see that this makes sense. Well, Moroni is the last prophet. He's Mormon's son, and so he's the one that's going to take the plates and hide them. But the reason why I make such a big deal about this is because millions of LDS missionaries will use Moroni chapter 10, 3, 4, and 5. This is the invitation that millions, including myself, read aloud. And so, but I'm focusing on verse 5, where verse 5 is, by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things. So that's exactly what Jesus promised in the Bible. John 14, 16, and 17. He gave you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. This isn't a Holy Ghost that's going to come in and while you're worthy, be there and then leave when you're not worthy. My question to the Latter-day Saints is, well, when do you know you're worthy? Are you relying on your feelings? Well, our feelings mostly lead us astray. I mean, I'm happy one minute, I'm sad the next, and I don't know why. So we're not supposed to follow our feelings, we're supposed to follow the plan, but in Mormonism, the focus is feelings. In the Bible, it's testing, it's putting our trust in God direct. In John 14, 26, again, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things unto your remembrance. But here's something worth noticing. Let's go to the Doctrine and Covenants in section 130.23, and it says, a man may receive, for those that have your Doctrine and Covenants, please open up with me, because again, I want you to be able to see context, I want you to be able to see the exact words in the Revelation from Joseph Smith, and we're showing this contrast between the Book of Mormon Bible and then Doctrine and Covenants, later Revelation. But in Doctrine and Covenants 130.23, a man may receive the Holy Ghost, and it may descend upon him and not tarry with him. In other words, Joseph taught that the Holy Ghost does not dwell in us permanently, but only visits and then leaves. That's a big difference from the Bible and Book of Mormon that say he dwells in us forever. It's a temporary thing in the Doctrine and Covenants. In 2 Nephi, so once again, we're going to flip back to Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi 32:5. It says, if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show you all things what you should do. And then we have the Bible that matches that in John 16:13. He, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you into all truth. But in the LDS Church, the full companionship is tied to a church ordinance, the confirmation after baptism. In Acts 10, there's a different story. And Brian, you know that with Cornelius. The Holy Spirit descends on Cornelius before he's baptized. So again, we are not bound by human rituals. And that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. Like, you can't put God in a box. I mean, you can. And I feel like that's what religion does, is you're like, God can do this, God can't do that. No. Like that's not the way that he works and moves in the New Testament or the Book of Mormon.
Okay, let me make a couple comments because I hadn't heard those verses from DNC before.
Okay.
So first of all, I want all of our listeners to recognize something.
Yeah.
And this is more about the nature of the Holy Spirit, not the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Doctrine and Covenants in the Book of Mormon talk about the Holy Spirit as an it.
True.
The Bible never does.
That's a good point.
The Bible always speaks of the Holy Spirit as a he, because the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity.
That's right.
So first of all, just everybody remember that. And I'll confess that sometimes I slip up and say it for the Holy Spirit, but that's not actually accurate.
That's a good point.
The Holy Spirit is personal. The Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. Mm-hmm. Second thing is about when we receive the Holy Spirit. According to the Bible, we receive the Holy Spirit when we believe. Mm-hmm. But you're saying that in modern day Mormonism, they receive the Holy Spirit when they get baptized into Mormonism?
Well,
how does that work?
Yeah, essentially, it's by those in authority
and
by the laying on of hands. Again, there are specific, strict things that have to be done in order for the Holy Ghost. I've never known of a story in the latter-day Mormonism. Now, early church, there are stories of people receiving, early Latter-day Saints receiving the Holy Spirit before baptism, but, you know, do your own research. But for modern-day Mormons, it's a process to get baptized, and then once you get baptized, it opens the door for you to get the gift of the Holy Ghost. Mm. But the further light and knowledge of the Holy Ghost and the full blessings cannot be experienced until you get in the temple. Mm. That's, you know, once again, it's like, I got to do all these different things just to get the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Like, yeah, it's just a lot.
But that's not what the Book of Mormon says.
No, that's not what the Book of Mormon says. That's what Doctrine and Covenants. What the Latter-day LDS Church would say. And again, it's a pivot. Mm-hmm. They have to have that because if not, you don't need a prophet. Mm-hmm. And as Christians, we don't need prophets. We don't need apostles. We have the foundation that was laid in the beginning. And that foundation was apostles and prophets, with Jesus being the what? Chief cornerstone. So if we go to prophets, we got to look backwards. If we go to high priests and priests and all these different things, we're looking backwards. Mm-hmm. That's not what Jesus ever taught.
So the other thing that jumped out at me when you were reading some of this is, okay, so in the modern Mormon church, there's this idea that the Holy Spirit comes and goes. Mm-hmm. Is that would any Mormons push back on that?
I don't think so. Yeah. It's based on worthiness.
I see.
And again, the pursuit of worthiness seems to be at the top versus the pursuit of the worthiness as a Christian would be to continue to lead me to a deeper relationship with Jesus. Mm. But my focus is, well, I've been a Latter-day Saint for a year. Now I want to get to the temple. But in order to get to the temple, there's a bunch of questions that I've got to answer. And these questions are going to declare my worthiness. Just by answering some questions, yes or no, I'm going to declare my worthiness to two men, the bishop and stake president. And these men aren't perfect either. Like, it doesn't make sense when you actually roll this back. But yeah, I mean, just to answer the question, if I'm worthy, Holy Ghost can be with me. If I'm not worthy, Holy Ghost is left me and will come back again and visit me and reside with me when I'm worthy. But when do you ever really know you're worthy, Brian?
Yeah, so how did that work for you? I mean, Lane, you were a very sincere Mormon. Mm-hmm. You weren't a Jack Mormon.
Right.
You were very earnest in your belief as, you know, growing up in a Mormon family. Can you speak to that on a personal level? Did you ever feel like you had the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely I feel, I mean, I can look back and I can see God working in me. I mean, obviously where I'm at today, I definitely had some detours along the way, but I'm thankful to where I'm at.
But as a Mormon,
as a
Mormon, was it only when you were right after you went to the temple? Was it when did you feel like, good, I've got the Holy Spirit? You know, holding on to the Holy Spirit for these next 30 minutes.
I think it was the lead up of what I'm supposed to feel, what I'm supposed to experience. And when you get to that point and you go to the temple, it's like you go in more excited than you come out. It should be the other way around, where you're coming out full of the Spirit, full of further light and knowledge that Joseph Smith said that you're going to get, closer to understanding who God is and all these things, and yet you don't, you come out more confused. But I just thought, well, maybe it's just me. But the more I talk to other LDS, it's like, no, like, I was like bamboozled after going to the temple and seeing the complicity of, you know, different things that you have to do, from names and tokens and all these other things. It's like, is God really that complicated? I was like, oh my gosh, like the Bible and Book of Mormon are really clear on that, but the others, they just keep making it more complicated.
So did you, what about the other side of it? Were there times as a Mormon where you just really felt like, I am sure that I just lost the Holy Spirit?
Oh yeah, 100%, yeah. Brian. There was many days, and that's why I think it was the feelings, because a lot of times feelings are important and we need to validate feelings, but the feelings often lead us astray. And I think, what's that verse that the heart is desperately wicked? Who could know it, right? I mean, the heart wants what it wants. And we're supposed to follow a plan, not follow our feelings. But in the religion, when I was fully Mormon, yeah, it was, I was following my feelings and be like, if I'm feeling good, if I'm feeling God, then God's with me. But what about the times that I wasn't feeling like God was with me? That didn't mean that he wasn't. It was just what I was told that he wasn't. And so there might have been a lot of times that when I was LDS, because God looks on the heart, man looks on the outer appearance, God looks on the heart, that God was actually with me even when I felt like he wasn't with me, because based on what I've been taught.
Do you think that when you were a Mormon, did you think that anybody in your church just like constantly had the Holy Spirit? Like, would you have, I don't know if there's a formal teaching on this,
yeah, but
would you have imagined that the prophet ever lost the Holy Spirit?
Actually, it's a deep question. And I would say for the most part, no, except that they're very quick to say, well, the prophet isn't perfect and he's going to make mistakes. And so what does that actually mean when you break that down? Does that mean when he makes mistakes that the Holy Spirit leaves, the Holy Ghost leaves? You know, that's for the Latter-day Saint to answer. I mean, I know what I would answer, and it would be, yeah, the Holy Spirit couldn't be with the prophet if he's making mistakes. That's not a personal God that's going to come and go. It's like, if I'm in a relationship, it's like, hey, if you're not nice to me all the time and you're not this and that, I'm going to leave you. Like, God knows that we're imperfect and we're fighting the flesh constantly, and it's supposed to be the Spirit. And God wants our faith. He doesn't want our bodies and our actions. He wants our faith united with him.
Yeah, and by the way, some of our listeners might be wondering, well, wait, so what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives? Mm-hmm. Well, again, Ephesians 1:13, it says that what you really receive good. The Holy Spirit when you believe, right? Galatians 3 says that as well. Paul says, did you receive the Holy Ghost because of all these other things, or because you believed? And his whole point is, it's about faith, that when you believe. And there's nowhere in the New Testament that says that that the Holy Spirit comes and goes based on our worthiness.
And even Paul, I think, in Romans says that we are children of God. You know, once received the Holy Spirit, we become children of God.
Yeah.
And that's powerful too. And it's like, dang. So it does make sense. It's like the Holy Spirit is the power of God as a believer. And then through that, I become adopted as a son or daughter. I get to choose if I want God as my father, or literally, that's all part of being born again. It's like my old life has to die and a new life has to begin.
And so then, our listeners might say, okay, then, well, what happens when we sin?
Yeah.
Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. Mm-hmm. It's just that you know, Galatians 5 says that we have our old nature, our sinful nature, but we have the Holy Spirit also. The Galatians 5 doesn't say that, you know, that the sinful nature is eradicated.
Right.
We still have the ability to make poor choices and not follow the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But Paul doesn't say when you walk by the flesh, the Holy Spirit leaves you.
Right.
Until you get worthy again.
Yeah.
He says, no, you need to walk by the Spirit. You need to stop following your old nature, your sinful nature.
Right.
So the Bible teaches something, I think, way simpler, way more beautiful, Lane, that that God doesn't leave us based on our perceived worthiness, because none of us are worthy. Jesus is the one who's worthy. And
imagine that.
Yeah.
He's the righteous one, and it's got to be his imputed righteousness to me. I've got to be found with that when I take my last breath. If it's my righteousness, I think Isaiah 64:6 says that I present my works, my righteousness, and it's as filthy rags to God. And I mean, that's a statement. So I've got to look for his righteousness. There's something else too, and that's really interesting that I want to get into as well. And that is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit often leads a Latter-day Saint to the prophet. As a Christian, the Holy Spirit leads me to Jesus, and it makes sense. And so I'm going to jump into the Doctrine and Covenants, and it's section 138. And I want everyone, if you've got your Doctrine and Covenants 138, to read with me. And this is a revelation from Joseph Smith, and it says, whether by mine own voice or by the voice of my servants, it is the same. That's a subtle but serious shift from glorifying Jesus to affirming the institution. We see right off the bat, what does that even actually mean? Well, in Scripture, the Holy Spirit's main role is to what? Glorify Jesus and point people to him. John 15:26. He shall testify of me. John 16:14, he shall glorify me. Even in the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi 31:18, the Holy Ghost witnesses of the Father and the Son. 3 Nephi 28:11, they were sanctified in Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus, not to an institution or a prophet. But the shift in Doctrine and Covenants 138, whether by my own voice or by the voice of my servants, it is the same. This verse is used by leaders to teach that when they speak, it's essential as if God himself were speaking. It's unreal, but true. The practical result, members are taught that the Holy Ghost will testify of the truth of prophets' words and the church itself. So instead of Spirit witnessing, centering on Christ and the finished work of the cross, it becomes about confirming the LDS prophets and the church is true. And that is so, when I look back on my LDS days, it's, oh my gosh, like it just, it's like it's right there again. But the subtlety, and the reason why this is a problem, Brian, is the subtlety replaces Jesus with an institution. Again, the Holy Spirit seems to point me to the prophet. As a Christian, the Holy Spirit points me to Jesus. In the Bible, the Spirit glorifies Christ. In LDS teaching, the Spirit often glorifies the church and the leaders, the prophets, the apostles, and ordinances. So when a Latter-day Saint says, I know the church is true because the Spirit told me, how many times I'd get up in fast and testimony meeting and say, I know the church is true, but as a Christian, it's very different. I know that Jesus is Lord because the Spirit testified to me. Again, the whole role of the Spirit is to testify of the Son. And the Book of Mormon and the Bible both say that.
Yeah, I would challenge Mormon. You know, if we've got some listeners who are kind of on the fence with this, trying to wrap your mind around this, I would say, go read the Book of Acts.
Yeah. You know,
the Book of Acts, the fifth book in the New Testament, is this kind of the story of the birth of the early church.
That's really good, yeah.
And more, you know, Mormonism really says, Joseph Smith said he's restoring the early church. So go read the Book of Acts and see how many times in the Book of Acts Peter or James or John or anybody points people to an institution, a prophet, or a church.
Exactly.
There's not one time.
There isn't one.
It's all pointing people to Jesus.
Yeah.
The simple focus is on Jesus. It's not on them. It's not on the church. And it's interesting that modern Mormonism doesn't at all reflect the church that we read about in the Book of Acts. And yet Joseph Smith said this is a restoration of that church.
Yeah. And a lot of time, I mean, for him to say whether by mine own voice or by the voice of my servants, it's like I'm speaking for God. It doesn't matter if God speaks or if it's me. And again, what is that point? The church is to glorify the prophet. And we can see why there's such a high reverence or almost a worship of some sort to the prophet, right? Why in the Book of Mormon? So why is he permanent in one, but temporary in the other? Why is he focused on Jesus in one, but shifted towards the church in the other? So again, John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. Again, the Bible's clear that the Holy Ghost, once comes in, is with you forever. I mean, how are you going to get out of your sin problem if you're left on your own? If it's like, well, as long as you're worthy, Holy Spirit's going to come in, but then you're on your own. There's a difference between living in sin and choosing to do that versus saying I'm a sinner. And every day I'm going to admit I'm a sinner, because when I do, that puts my need for a Savior, right? More than just saying, yeah, I'm going to go to the temple and do a bunch of good things, and then I'm going to come home and say, yeah, I'm good in God's eyes now because of what I did in the temple.
So Lane, what would you say to, you know, I could just imagine, I'm trying to be compassionate toward the Mormon who their understanding of the Holy Spirit, who's a he, not an it, by the way.
Yeah.
Their understanding of the Holy Spirit is being shifted right now, but it's hard because in some sense the modern day Mormon view of the Holy Spirit in some sense is easier for Mormons today, mm-hmm. because it's kind of, this is what religion does. Yeah. It gives me a checklist, more cut and dried in that way, mm-hmm. but they're probably hearing how we're describing the biblical Holy Spirit, and they're saying, yeah. I like the simplicity of that.
Yeah.
But they want to hold on to the rigor of their own checklist and feeling the Holy Spirit. What would you say to that Mormon who's ready for a change?
It's just about control, right? Like at the end of the day, if you look at it, it's just a matter of nobody wants to think they're not in control. And by having a prophet, it seems to give that control element back, that I'm going to look to my prophet like when I was a child and I sing that, follow the prophet, don't go astray, right? Like at the end of the day, that's my focus, was the prophet. Holy Spirit leads me to the prophet and testifies to me, this is a true prophet, and now I can trust what the prophet says. Well, that leads me into the next. Let's get into some general authorities and a couple quotes from some prophets and apostles here on what they say the Holy Ghost is. So D. Todd Christofferson explains the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and then he cites Doctrine and Covenants 109. And he says this, quote, "By making and keeping temple covenants, we learn more about the Lord's purposes and receive a fullness of the Holy Ghost. Only temple covenants allow you to access the full blessings of the Holy Ghost," end quote. Let's go to David A. Bednar, a current apostle of the LDS Church. "I encourage you to take a step towards making covenants with God and receiving their essential temple ordinances. Do you want a sure way to eliminate the influence of the adversary in your life? Go to the temple, receive the ordinances of baptism and the Holy Ghost." And finally, Joseph Smith in 1841 says this, "The church is not fully organized in its proper order and cannot be until the temple is completed, where places will be provided for the administration of the ordinances of priesthood." These quotes make it clear that within the LDS doctrine, personal revelation through the Holy Ghost is limited. The full gifts of the Holy Ghost are promised only upon making temple covenants, implying that baptism and confirmation are insufficient for spiritual fullness. The temple and its ordinances are essential to God's plan and church, not fully organized with it or without it, rather than optional enhancements. As a former Latter-day Saint, here's the remarkable contrast. "I discovered in Scripture, both the Bible and Book of Mormon, the Holy Ghost alone guides us into all truth. But in LDS teaching, it's not that simple. The full gift of the Holy Ghost comes only after temple covenants. And Joseph Smith insists that the church wasn't fully organized until the temple was built. In other words, the Holy Ghost isn't enough. You need prophets, temples to complete what he began, and he is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost leads to Christ, not temples, not secret rituals. Plus, the Spirit of God doesn't need a prophet to finish his work.
And so those quotes, even from Joseph Smith in 1841, mm-hmm. those quotes don't actually align with what you read at the beginning from the Book of Mormon. Because the Book of Mormon didn't say that there's something lacking until we have the temple and the ordinances right. and all that stuff.
Again, it keeps it simple. Let me give you an example I think that the listeners will really like. So imagine you had a tour guide at the Grand Canyon, and the guide's whole job is to point you to the beauty of the canyon. But instead, he keeps saying, "Look how great I am for bringing you here. Trust me, follow me. I'll never lead you wrong." That's the shift in the LDS teaching about the Holy Ghost. In the Bible, the Spirit is the guide who points us to Jesus. But in Mormonism, the Spirit often gets repurposed to the point to the prophet or the church itself. So the focus shifts from the beauty of Christ to the authority of man. When I left Mormonism, I didn't lose the Spirit, as some individuals said. I finally found him because he pointed me to Jesus. The Holy Ghost opened my eyes. He glorifies Jesus, not temples, prophets, or institutions.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.